Hello, everyone, and welcome to Words on a Wedding, the podcast that sees me, your host, Annie Bisher, interview my wonderful guests about their big day. Together, we talk all things proposals, planning, the ceremony, the fashion, the first dance, and beyond. No wedding-related stone is left unturned. So whether you're planning your own wedding, you simply love wedding chat, or like me, you're a not-so-newlywed who just can't let that wedding world go, hit subscribe on Words on a Wedding, play on the episode, and get stuck in. Today, I'm joined by digital creator, event stylist, and photographer India Cardona, known to most as the India Edit. Now, India got married last spring. Her followers waited with bated breath for the first images of her big day to drop on social media, and it's safe to say they caused a sensation when they did. So I cannot wait to get into all the little details. Thank you so much for joining me, India.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be able to discuss my wedding in great detail to someone who's interested.
I am so interested. Don't you worry about that.
Amazing.
Now, I always kick off with, and I say that this sounds like I'm on repeat, but it's the question that makes me feel like Cilla Black. Who did you marry and how did you meet? I'm right in thinking, I think I saw on your social channels that you celebrated 10 years last month, right?
Together. Yeah, last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
My goodness.
Yeah, so I married a man called James. He is actually my first, hopefully last ever boyfriend, and we met at university. So our wedding day was 8 years to the day since we actually had our first kiss, and we met the day before that. It was like a classic university meeting where our friends had kind of said that we thought each other were fit to each other, and I went up to him in the nightclub smoking area and asked him for a lighter. That was that, basically.
Straight out of a novel. Love it.
A very sort of grungy novel, I guess.
Oh, I love a grungy novel. I love that. And 10 years.
I know. Wow. It's wild. I don't really know how that happened, but I guess, you know, it sounds very cliche, but time does fly when you're having fun. And it took him, you know, it took him a good amount of time to propose, but actually we managed to get engaged and married and have all those celebrations when pandemic was no longer kind of impacting everything. So as much as I maybe wanted to get married before then, I was actually very grateful for the timing in the end.
And talk me through that proposal. It's got to be a big deal after 8 years.
Seven? Yeah,
seven,
yeah, I think it was seven. Seven, eight? I've honestly lost track.
No,
I think it was eight.
Yeah.
So he's not really one for like big romantic gestures. I feel like he kind of favours more sort of private acts of romance. And so I think he wanted to keep our proposal quite low-key, and for that reason, he did it at home, which was very cute and very much a surprise. He literally pulled the ring box like out of his pyjamas. I mean, I did not expect to be getting engaged when I was wearing like no makeup. I literally had a top knot on. I was in my pyjamas as well. I think they even had spot cream on my face. And I think, you know, as he did it, I was like bawling my eyes out in total shock, and I was like, I can't believe you proposed to me when I look like this. But I guess that's love, right? It was very sweet. And I genuinely, I'm like such a planner, very difficult to surprise, I would say, because I'm very in the detail. And so for him to have been able to pull off a total surprise was really quite amazing. And I think it just put my body into a state of shock, really. We've been to this super low-key Caribbean restaurant down the road. I thought we were just having like a nice date night. I mean, yeah, I was like, oh, we are having date night, so I won't put on my really ugly pajamas and put on maybe my sort of second ugliest pajamas. But no, it was a total surprise. And I'd even like looked at our calendar. We had a joint calendar, and I was like, oh, I've really shot myself in the foot here. We're too busy to get engaged because we just had plans on like every weekend. So I just did not see it coming at all.
That must have felt just wonderful though. And then if you were that surprised, did you have a vision for this wedding lined up already? Had you been Pinteresting? Did you have a saved folder on Instagram, or were you totally on the back foot? Did you have to start from scratch?
I mean, I would love to say that I'm really low-key and chilled and didn't, you know, hadn't thought about it. I definitely knew that we were going to get engaged. I just didn't know that it was going to happen then. And I think kind of been willing it on for a while. The genuinely, like the week that I was finally at peace, being like, you know, it's going to happen. I've got so many wonderful things happening with all my friends around me. Like, there's no urgency. It genuinely happened 2 days later. So whenever I speak to people who are you know, really wanting to get engaged, and like you have to like be at peace and be happy with where you are. But having said that, I definitely had a whole save folder. I've been saving things on Instagram, like when I saw obviously details of weddings pop up, but I hadn't let myself delve into the save folder. So then the morning after we got engaged, I was like, oh my God, I'm allowed to look at my save folder finally. Had a lot of fun doing that. And I was just so like buzzing off of adrenaline and surprise and shock. I think I probably woke up about 5 a.m. and was there just scrolling through, which was a fun morning for sure.
Oh God, that must have been bliss. I'd have been exactly the same.
did you have the same thing?
As in a huge surprise? No, I kind of knew, but I definitely had everything saved still. Yeah, I found the dress, my dress on Instagram. I said this before. I remember I sent a picture of that dress to one of my bridesmaids who didn't, before we were even engaged. It's just like, this is the dress. But you don't expect to get that dress. Yeah, I definitely saved a few things on Instagram. And then when it came to actual planning, you know, realizing all these saved pictures, where do you even start? What was the priority for you? And what was the kind of first anchor that the rest of the plans spread from?
Well, I'm a bit of a sort of psycho when it comes to like numbers. And I've always loved the number 27. And it happened that James and I first kissed on the 27th of May. And I've always like loved May as well. And so I was like, we have to get married that day. And actually like the year before, maybe even 2 years before, it just suddenly occurred to me that in 2023, when I thought we'd probably end up getting married, the 27th of May was a Saturday and it was like the bank holiday weekend. And so I think I just already had in my head, like, that's when we're getting married, before we were even engaged. And I made a joke about that in my speech as well. But that was always the date. So like, as soon as we got engaged, people were like, do you know when you're getting married? I was like, yep. And they were like, okay. And James was like, no, we don't. And I was like, no, we do. And, you know, it turned out to be on that day. So the date was in my head already. And then the venue I had clocked on Instagram as well. So that was like my first port of call, like getting the venue locked down. So I approached them. I think we even went to visit it like 2 weeks after we were getting engaged. I was like, we got to move quick. We've got like 15 months to make this happen. So just jumped kind of straight into planning.
What was the venue and why did it speak to you so much?
So the venue is called Belcombe Court and it's like a beautiful, beautiful Georgian property on like the Somerset border, kind of edge of the Cotswolds, in a beautiful little town called Bradford-on-Avon, which is like a mini bar. It kind of looks exactly like something out of Bridgerton. And I really love Georgian properties. I love the like golden kind of bath stone. And I also wanted to get married somewhere that wasn't like a conveyor belt in terms of weddings. I now fully appreciate all of the benefits of that.
You do realise you've probably now turned that property into a conveyor belt of weddings.
I mean, there have been more weddings there. At the time, there were only like a handful a year. I feel like there were maybe maximum like 5 a year because it's a family home and they then just hire out like a handful of weekends. So that really appealed to me that people wouldn't have been there before and probably wouldn't go there again. And it was breathtakingly beautiful, has the most stunning gardens. With dry hire, which the venue was, it meant that I could make like every detail exactly how I wanted it to be. Obviously, that comes with a lot of work and a lot of planning, which I, again, didn't appreciate when we booked it. You know, at the end of the day, it did turn out kind of exactly as I dreamt of.
Did you have a planner or did you do it all yourself?
So I had a coordinator who kind of came in like the month of the wedding in the lead up and she was amazing. She's called Holly and she has a company called Wanderlust Events. And she really like kept us in check in the lead up and executed the day. I would never recommend people get married without an on the day coordinator. But I was so kind of set in my vision that I wanted to do the planning myself. And now I think I appreciate planners more and understand that they can contribute to your vision. At the time, I was like, nope, I'm going to plan it. Yeah, so we did that. You know, there were obviously hiccups and bumps in the road, but it did all fall into place.
I think it's so unique to go in there with the date as your starting point. You know, that kind of draw to the particular day and the meaning behind it. And then you work everything else around that. I think that's so beautiful and incredible that you got that with the venue that clearly sang to you. at that time.
I know, it really did all fall into place. And also the venue was really close to where my parents have a house in Somerset. So that was also meaningful because, you know, it's a place that we kind of know and love. We then had like the celebrations and even all of the kind of pre-prep at my parents' house or in the local area, which was really kind of meaningful to us as well.
And we have to talk about the dress. Now, you're an incredibly prominent figure in the kind of fashion space. So I think everybody was expecting something save worthy, right? On Instagram, I was looking out for it. But that silhouette was so unique. How did you hit on that dress? And did you have an idea in your head before you went into searching for it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I kind of look back at like the sketches that I did when I started thinking about it, and the dress is almost identical to how I'd envisioned it. And I think with the venue, because it's very romantic and, you know, it's really the epitome of like English countryside, and we were having our wedding at like the height of spring, I really wanted to lean into the like romance and ethereal and kind of wafty lightness that comes with that. And so having like drama but also it being quite soft and feminine was really what I had in mind, having this kind of flowing organza that was really like cinched at the waist but dramatic in other areas really kind of spoke to me. I definitely can't take full credit for the dress. Like Bettina Looney wore something similar to her wedding a few years back, and I actually spoke to her during the like design process of my dress. Hers was like way bigger, had a totally different kind of bodice, and it is very different, but having the kind of billowing organza was definitely like partly inspired by her. I'd seen like Olive Cook do something similar with organza, and there were a few others, and I was like, okay, I need like a lot of organza in my life with this wedding. The Own Studio, you know, executed my vision perfectly. They're an amazing contemporary bridal studio. They just kind of approach bridal differently with more of like a high fashion and like evening wear perspective, and I just really love what they're doing in the space. And I was friends with the founders already, I'd worked with them before, and so we always kind of said like, as soon as I'm engaged, let's chat. And so I sketched the dress, they kind of re-sketched it, and then we had like months of fittings with twirls and testing out whether we wanted like one layer of organza on the sleeve or two layers, and changing the bodice, changing the back. And it was a really like collaborative process, and it was so much fun. And during the process, I fell in love with more of their dresses. I actually ended up having four of their dresses, three of which I wore on the day, and then one I wore for my hen party. So that main dress I wore for obviously like the getting ready, traveling to the wedding ceremony, drinks, and cutting of the cake. And then before we went into the dinner, I changed into another one of their dresses, which was like a drop waist style, which I paired with an amazing organza necktie and feather boa. And it just was a really nice way to kind of switch up the tone. And it was just so fun to have another dress. It was a total accident. I was going in to find like my sparkly mini dress to dance in, and I was like, I'm just going to try on the new collection for fun. And I put it on and we were both like, oh God, we have to work this in. So yeah, I was very extra, but no regrets.
If you're going to be extra, what better time to do it than your wedding day?
So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's hanging my wardrobe behind me. I don't know what to do with it.
What are you going to do with it? Mine's hanging on the front of my wardrobe at my parents' house, and I don't know what to do.
I think I'm just going to keep the main one, but I might dye the second one. That's what I'm thinking.
Ooh. What colour would you go for?
I'm thinking of dyeing it yellow and like wearing it to a wedding this summer. That's what I've got.
I'll keep you posted. I want to see that. And then I wanted to know your, and I said this before, but your space is the fashion and beauty world. You said that your contacts led you to sort of your perfect dress designer. How else did your experience of the industry influence the planning of your wedding and your vision for the day or what you executed?
I think it meant that I was very considered with like every single element. And now reflecting on it, I appreciate that my wedding was really kind of a coming together of like all of my interests in terms of like fashion, beauty, as you say, but also like food and the tables and the design side of things. And so I definitely put a lot of pressure on myself to like curate every single element. And I think yeah, as you said, like it was an amazing opportunity to tap into my network where I could, like with the dress. I wanted things to be really like unique to us and be really a reflection of us or me in certain places. And it meant that with like tables, which are really important to me, I actually designed a collection of vases for the tables that were in kind of the same color palette as the wedding. And those were first used on the wedding tables and then like sold as a collection afterwards, which was really fun. That was with a brand called Bias Editions. And I just wanted to bring in like things that were important to us, whether that was we're into meditation and mindfulness and stuff. So that was something that played a part in our ceremony, which we can get into. We love like positive affirmations or kind of use little mantra cards at the time. So we like slip those under everyone's plates at the dinner. And I think I just wanted to kind of surprise and delight our guests at like every opportunity and have it be like a journey for them. And then I guess when people were learning about our wedding afterwards, there was lots to discuss as well, if that makes sense.
I'm very intrigued by the part you mentioned about bringing kind of mindfulness and meditation to the ceremony. Talk me through that.
So in our ceremony, I have one sister and James has got two sisters, and we were having his sisters do a reading. We had a friend who's an amazing actor do a reading. We were like, oh, we don't really have space for another reading, but I kind of want my sister to be like part of our day, or, you know, say something during the day. We had a civil ceremony, so a legal ceremony, that we got married actually at the venue because it was licensed, which was great. And I think when you kind of walk down the aisle and there's that huge like anticipation and buzz, we just wanted to have a moment for everyone to like ground and take everything in and like pause. So I was looking up like a group meditation or something that my sister could potentially lead. And, you know, I said, I've had an idea throughout the entire wedding process because I was constantly kind of coming up with new ideas. And I was like, oh, I've had an idea. He's like, oh my God, what now? And I was like, you know, can we have like a meditation in the ceremony? And he was like, no, that sounds so weird. And I was like, okay, just let me like look into it, draft something up, and then you can have, you know, a better idea of what I'm thinking about. And so I basically looked up, like I did loads of research about it. And it does seem to be a thing probably more in America. And like, they can be really cheesy. And so I drafted something up and I spoke to my sister about it. She was like, I would love to do that. It was nothing too woo-woo, but it was just like a moment to pause essentially and like take in the light in the room, the flowers, we had a gospel choir, like all those sorts of things, and just have like a moment to really appreciate what was going on. We just wanted to kind of bring that same level of like gravitas and like a level of seriousness, I guess, to the occasion. And so that's how we brought it in.
I think that's so thoughtful, because on the face of it, telling somebody we had a led guided meditation moment in our ceremony, it does sound woo-woo. And it does sound, you know, very American, or, you know, well, actually something Kate Moss would do, you know, been to Cosmos launches where she'll bring in, you know, her favourite soundbath leader.
Yeah, totally.
It's incredible. But when you frame it in a way that, you know, I totally get what you mean when you have civil ceremonies. I think a lot of celebrants are very conscious of making it, lending gravitas to that event, but equally some will kind of go through the motions and then it's done and then it's on to the reception and people forget. And I think bringing ritual with that gravitas into a moment like that is such a thoughtful thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, my grandma, she's very anti-woo-woo, and she was like, you know, I saw that on the order of service and I thought that's so weird, but actually it was amazing. And I think lots of people had that reaction. They were like, oh God, like, here we go. And then, you know, it was quick. It wasn't like we took them through some like 20-minute chanting situation, right?
No.
So it was very like palatable. But I think lots of people were pleasantly surprised by it.
I think it's such a good idea and such a great tip that anybody who is having a civil ceremony can take away. And if, you know, if people are worried that, you know, people are going to read it on the order of service and think, oh God, you know, frame it as a moment of reflection.
Yeah, it was a really nice moment. And then we had a gospel choir, so that I guess when they were singing, you know, people had other moments to appreciate and pause as well.
Needless to say, the images were just stunning. I'm right in thinking you had Benjamin Wheeler capturing your day.
Yeah.
Was he your number one?
Yes.
Like from the, oh, yeah.
So we'd been kind of, you know, Instagram-y friends, like we followed each other and would DM each other. And so when we got engaged, because I already had a rapport with him and he'd also photographed various friends of mine's weddings, and obviously I loved his imagery, I was like, you know, he would be like a no-brainer. Since the wedding, my like love of film photography has grown more. And I think if I was doing it now, I would choose a second shooter who was like fully focused on film, just because I love the unique vibe that you capture with film. And we did have some film photography, but I feel like if I was to do it again, like that would be more important to me now than it was then. And I have struggled with like not being able to capture it myself as someone that's so used to capturing and like having control of, you know, being behind the lens and kind of in front of the lens. It was definitely strange to be outside of that situation. And I think as well, because you don't select the, you know, I think we took probably about more than 10,000 photos, and then you get given like 1,000. In an ideal world, I feel like I would have like chosen the 1,000, because obviously where the photographer thinks you look amazing, you're like, I look horrible there. But no, he did an amazing job, and there are so many that I really love. I feel like it is quite jarring that you, like, that's kind of all you get after your wedding. You know, it's like, oh, wow, like, that's it. And like the finality, I don't even know if that's a word, but I've definitely struggled with like, oh my God, like it's over.
And do you do, I don't know whether you'll do that thing. I certainly do it, because realistically, you're not going to, I think, you know, all photographers give you so much space to say, I'd love this shot, I'd love that shot, here's a mood board. They're so open and collaborative, and it's incredible. But you're not going to get every single shot. I live my life in pictures and very visual. And then almost now, when somebody has an incredible wedding, I kind of don't want to look, because I'm like, oh, why didn't I get that shot?
It's honestly taken me like a year to be totally at peace with the whole wedding and the photos and everything, because as someone who is like a total perfectionist to my detriment, absolutely, I'm like, oh my God, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I have a photo with a bit with my veil over my face? You know, but it's like, I have to give myself a talking to, because I'm like, I was enjoying my wedding. Like I was having the best time ever. Like I wasn't on a photo shoot. And I think that's so important to remember. Like it's worth, you know, it's absolutely priceless to have been present and like engaged and energized and happy on your day versus getting like an extra 10 perfect photos when you probably already have like over 100, if not hundreds of incredible photos.
Exactly. And to realize that those ones that you hanker after months later, to have those would be to lose others.
Totally.
There'll be photographs that you don't appreciate now that in years to come will suddenly take on a life of their own.
Definitely. I think straight afterwards, like you're so in it still. Now with like a year on, firstly, like the weather wasn't as good this year. So I'm like, well, we're extra, like I appreciate our luck even more because we had the most perfect spring day. But now I think I can just look at them with less, you know, micro assessments, etc., which is a really nice place to be in. But I've spoken to so many friends and brides that are in the same sort of world as me, and when you're used to being, you know, more in control of what's being captured, it is definitely an adjustment. But I genuinely really love our photos, and Ben is such a great energy on the day. He made us feel so comfortable. He's so fun. He was such a good vibe. That counts for so, so much as well. So yeah, totally. And we did have a videographer as well. And I'm really, really glad that we have a video/videos, because it just captures, like we look at the photos, you know, we've got them around our house, so we look at them so much, but nothing really captures like the energy of the day quite like the videos do.
And it was Will War, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's amazing.
He's incredible. He's captured a lot for the Prince and Princess of Wales, hasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he has. So, you know, we were in good hands.
You're in very good hands.
And we actually know him. He's like, he's married to someone that we were at uni with, who we love. So we also were very comfortable with him, which was a really lovely dynamic.
I mean, Andrew, I need my hands on this little black book.
I know. I'm like, wow, incredible. I've actually got so much networking going on, which is kind of accidental. still paid for everyone, don't worry. But Yeah, the videos we love. And we actually, he filmed a lot on like Super 8 as well, which is like an old school camera. And I actually found like 8 minutes of footage that we hadn't seen before the other day. And so we watched that on our anniversary, which was so fun. It's all like silent.
Was that what you posted?
Yeah, that's I posted Instagram, some of that. Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because we have like a 13 minute, you know, proper video, but I'm not going to post that. I'm not going to share that, you know, that's quite nice.
Yeah, but you'll sit down with some popcorn and watch
exactly.
that together.
Yes. I'm like, we'll watch that every year, which is really fun.
So let's talk about beauty. We've dived headlong into fashion. Talk me through your hair and makeup look and how you hit on them.
So I'm not very inventive when it comes to my hair and makeup. I feel like I typically go for like the same sort of beauty look, whether it's the day or the night or, you know, a wedding, whatever, which is usually like quite a dewy base, I would say, quite natural. I love blusher. Like blusher is an essential for me. With the makeup artist, I was like, more blusher, please, more blusher. I just feel like it makes me look more alive. And I think, again, like I was very fixated on this idea of spring and having like peachy tones, and so I went for like peachy blusher, kind of peachy lips, and on my eyes as well, just so that I looked very like warm and radiant, I guess. My makeup, I had an amazing Chanel makeup artist, so it was all Chanel makeup, obviously. And then hair wise I usually go for kind of tousled bun, like a low bun, and so I went for that, but we added in like extensions so that my bun would be a lot fuller and hold better. And then I had like some face framing pieces and a veil as well. So it was very like predictable probably in terms of my makeup, but I wanted to really look like me. And then we like dialed up for the evening. So when everyone was moving from dinner to dancing, I went and had my hair put into like a slick back updo, and I put like crystal gems on my eyelids as well. Got a lot of comments on the dance floor. So that was quite a fun way to make it more playful. And I'm ready for dancing. I need absolutely no hair in my face right now, basically.
Yeah, it's now gone from Bridgerton to Studio 54.
You've nailed it.
And then talk me through beauty prep. I mean, you're somebody who needs zero help with their skin. You're glowing at me from the screen.
That's very sweet.
But did you work in any treatments in the lead up to the wedding?
I think in the wedding I did suffer from sort of some stress induced spots, etc. I love a laser facial. I love going to Natasha at Keechi, and she typically says go like 10 days before a big event, and I think that I should have actually left it longer. Like now if I'm going to see her and I know that I want to look great for something, I'll leave like a 2 week if not more window afterwards. But I did go to 10 days before, and so I did, like, my skin was great and glowy, and I used the Sarah Chapman like 3D moisture mask. It's unbelievable. So I used that on the morning, and I used like the Skinny Confidential ice roller. But I did have like a few spots on my face, but you know, that's what makeup's for. One error that I made was with my back. I don't often suffer from like back knee, but I did have a flare up like in the lead up to the wedding. I basically gone for like a back facial thinking that was going to be a great idea, and I think it just really didn't agree with me, and I had this like major back knee flare up. I was like desperately using LED on my back like multiple times a day in the run up to get it to all calm down, which it didn't really. So like my back was a total mess. All of my friends are like, I literally never noticed, like, do not worry. Obviously I was like in the photos, I'm like, oh my god, it looks terrible, you know. I would way rather it was on my back than my front. So I think if you're going to be doing beauty treatments, like, test them well in advance, because it's tempting, like, especially when things are expensive, you're like, okay, I'm going to do it just for my wedding. I would say I didn't make the best pre-wedding beauty treatment choices, but someone's got to make these mistakes. So you guys can learn from me.
No, that's a really good tip. And it's the trying something new thing, isn't it? That the kind of standard rule is don't try anything new skincare wise less than 6 weeks out from your wedding. And I'd actually say 2 months if to be totally cautious. And if your skin's looking amazing,
don't change.
You don't need to do anything.
Yeah, totally. I honestly, like, 4 weeks before the wedding, I was in Ibiza and I'd been stung in my eye by a mosquito. My eye was like completely burned out. I had all this like back going on my back. I had spots on my face, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a disaster. But somehow, you know, most of the things disappeared.
And again, these things, will look a thousand times worse to you anyway on any given day. But if you're a couple of months out from your wedding, they're going to look even worse to you. And the likelihood is nobody else is going to notice a thing.
And, you know, if someone did see the spots on my back, they'd be like, oh, poor. And like, that's it.
Nobody's looking that closely. Everybody's looking at the day. They're looking at you making your vows to each other. They're looking at you doing your first dance. Nobody's going in with a microscope.
Exactly. And the worst thing would be to let that impact your day, like behave as if that's not going on whatsoever. And, you know, besides a very brief, like, oh, you know, when I looked in the mirror, I didn't think about it at all.
No. And there's no way you're going to remember it in 10 years' time.
I hope not. Sometimes I see it in a picture and my friend's like, did you? I didn't even notice. So I'm just going to take their view.
Exactly. On to scent. How did you scent your wedding? What perfume did you wear?
So at the actual wedding, there's this fragrance. Well, it's a candle brand called August and Piers. They're really small. I really love them. And they've got this.
Very your vibe.
Very my
visually.
Vibe, exactly. Like beautiful ceramic candles. And they've got this kind of smoky, sexy scent called Libertine. So we had a few of those like dotted around in the ceremony. And then personally, I wore, obviously wore Chanel fragrance. I wore, it's called Eau de Cologne. It's this amazing, like very citrusy, again, very springy shock, but it's very like light and yeah, I absolutely love it.
Gorgeous. And it does it take you right back?
Yeah, I've got it and I'm like, I need to use it sparingly. Yeah, it's a beautiful scent.
And if you were to walk me through, I love this part of the interview. If you were to walk me through the day in the life of your wedding day in a kind of nutshell, what would it look like?
So we had our rehearsal dinner at Babington House on the Friday with like our immediate family, ushers and bridesmaids. And so I stayed there for the wedding weekend. So I woke up on the morning of the wedding very early. I think I've been waking up at like 5 a.m. for the month before, which I'm sure many brides do. And so I woke up with one of my best friends, did my morning meditation. And then we were all very determined to go swimming. So we went swimming at about 7 a.m. for the bridesmaids. We didn't realize that at Babington you could only swim like in lanes at that time of day. So we literally swam like in convoy, which was hilarious and a great way to start the morning. And it was such a beautiful spring morning. We were so lucky. And then we had hair and makeup starting. I had 7 bridesmaids. So, you know, they were like every hour, timetable going on. And I gave them all nighties only. Nightwear. So we were all kind of floating around our 90s, which was very cute, and all had like hair and makeup starting. We did a little women's circle. Again, this sounds quite woo-woo, but one of my bridesmaids set it up and we just like sat in a circle with my mum. They gave me a little present, which was like an embroidered piece of fabric with like all of their names on it. They all kind of said what their like wish for us for the day was, which was very cute and quite teary. And then we had champagne, carried on getting ready. And then I traveled to the wedding with my dad in this very beautiful old car, which I didn't realize didn't have air conditioning. And as I mentioned, it was like a very lovely warm spring day. So that was an interesting like half an hour journey where probably all my beautiful makeup that I just had hours spent over kind of melted away. And then because we were having a civil ceremony, I had to meet the registrar, like a quick interview pre-wedding. So I did that. And then at the venue, another reason I loved it was because it had various different kind of areas so that we could have this like journey throughout the day. And when our guests came in, there's this beautiful kind of old stone barn. And that's where we were having our ceremony. Had off to do this amazing kind of olive branch installation. When I'd been on that Ibiza trip that I mentioned earlier, I just kept walking through like olive groves and I was just like, I love these so much. Like I need these kind of brought into our wedding. And I think I thought we were going to have like a few sprigs of olive, but it was honestly like an olive grove. So that was amazing to walk into. And I walked in with my dad to our gospel choir singing Nora Jones, Come Away With Me. And James, like, they literally had to sing it 3 times because you guys were taking so long. Because I had, like, all of my bridesmaids all walking in with, like, little flower girls. So I think by the time I came, they were, like, he was, like, watching his watch. And then the ceremony started with that kind of group meditation moment of pause situation. And then we kind of alternated between, like, a song from the gospel choir. We were doing some of our favourite songs, like the Tom Misch song and things like that. His sisters did a reading. Our friend did a reading, and obviously we had like the actual ceremony itself. So I think our ceremony probably lasts about half an hour. And at one point, two of the flower girls that were sitting on my bridesmaid's lap came and like sat with us whilst Lovely Day was being sung, which was just like really wholesome. And I think just made everyone feel quite relaxed, because it wasn't like, you know, it's us at this altar or whatever, and then you guys. It was all just very kind of warm. And then we did, you know, confetti, had drinks, cut the cake. After about an hour, I think we probably did like family photos, which was very stressful during that window. and then everyone moved over. So the journey kind of continued, went from like the barn to the lawn and then over to the dinner tent. And there was this cute little cottage next to the tent. So James and I nipped up in there. I got changed into outfit number two and everyone went to the tables. And I think kind of going back to what I said, I wanted everyone to be really like delighted and surprised at like every turn. I wanted the tables to be like a real moment. I think people expected that from me as well. And so I wanted them to feel very like detailed and abundant, and had like obviously the vases and flowers and candles. But then I also had like fruit and veg kind of dotted along the tables and embroidered napkins. And obviously I've designed menus and everything. And then we also did Italian food, which we had like sherry starters. So we had lots of colourful stuff like melon and ham and focaccia and burrata and like a radicchio salad. So I think when people got to the tables, it was like, whoa, it was really fun. Not that I was there to see it. And then my dad's side of the family is Indian, and I wanted to bring in like sort of Indian elements. So I chose to do that in the form of Punjabi MC. So we had Punjabi MC playing when we like came into the tent, which was just such a fun moment. And everyone, like it was a surprise to everyone, including my family. Everyone was kind of bhangra dancing, and I was wearing my new dress with the feathers, and it just like really set the tone for like a fun evening ahead. And then we interspersed the meal courses with speeches. We had like amazing music playing in the background. I remember looking up and like the music's playing really loudly, and I was like, whoa, like this is a vibe. And then obviously there was like the mantra cards on everyone's faces. And then I feel like when you've got 160 people and trying to like keep them contained, it can only work for so long. So then I feel like people get a bit restless and they're like, right, I'm ready to dance, I'm ready to like drink a cocktail. And whilst we'd all been at dinner, face the barn where we had our ceremony been transformed into essentially a nightclub. So all the chairs had been moved for the ceremony for the dinner. And then a huge, like 1 meter wide disco ball suspended from the ceiling. Obviously the DJ had set up and everything. So whilst everyone moved over, I had my hair redone. And then we like went into the dancing to do our first dance. Then just dance the night away. I feel like I didn't really need to drink anything. I was like so like high on life, so energized. And one thing that I was like, I need like a couple more surprises, obviously, for the guests. And one thing that James had said was like was non-negotiable at the wedding, fried chicken. And he was like, babe, I've looked up the nearest KFC, there's one in Bath. I was like, no, we're not gonna have like soggy KFC at our wedding. So I was like, right, I've got an idea, as I always said. I actually got a graphic designer to basically make a KFC logo, but with James's face instead of the Colonel's face, and called it JFC. And so that was on like the fried chicken late night booth, which was really fun, which probably half the people were too drunk to even notice. But that was like one of my favorite details of the night. And now we still have stickers kind of all over the place. And then our last song at the time, like White Lotus was huge. And so we had the White Lotus theme tune as our last song, which was a real banger and really kind of kicked off. So that was very fun, but also very sad for it to end. And then I had one more surprise in store, which, you know, as I mentioned, my dad's side of the family's Indian. And when my mum left with my dad, she was wearing a sari. And so I went and put on the same sari that she wore to leave her wedding, to leave our wedding. And then off we went.
Oh my God. It was like listening to an epic poem. Oh. That was beautiful.
I mean, I very much enjoyed being able just to talk about it. So thank you for entertaining that.
Oh God, I was enveloped in it. That was gorgeous. My goodness.
You're so sweet.
Every detail, like you said, so curated, but so unique to you as a couple.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. And I also, you know, I didn't want it to feel like, obviously loads of effort went in, but I wanted the elements that were considered to be kind of seamlessly integrated into the day as well, you know.
That is a factor to consider, because when you're putting that much of yourself into something, and you know, organizing something like this is your bread and butter, and you're naturally going to have a lot of control over it, but it's a real it takes a lot to then let go of that on the day and enjoy it and feel hosted yourself.
Yeah. And I do think like our planner definitely played into that, like our coordinator. So yeah, I also think you have to like relinquish control on the day.
Absolutely. Whoever has taken the lead in organizing their wedding day out of that couple, they are the barometer for how everybody else is going to feel in the day. So if you're stressed, you know, hung up on various little things, that kind of flows through
for sure
throughout the day and makes a mark on other people. That's when everybody kind of amps it up as well.
I totally agree. And there were things like, you know, the disco ball that I'd spent so many hours coordinating. I'd envisioned it like floating just above the dance floor and it was like up in the roof. But when I walked in, like, you know, there's 200 people already on this dance floor. What am I going to do? No one else is going to ever notice. So you're just like, oh well, you know, and I'm not going to let that get in the way of me having the best time on the dance floor with all of my friends.
No, exactly. In season one, I interviewed George Driver about her wedding and she said exactly what you just said. It's an oh well moment.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a few of
That's
them.
That's such a good way of putting it.
And you just have to call it an oh well moment. Continue with your wedding.
Yeah. And I've discussed it with my therapist. She's like, you know, if your disco ball wasn't in the roof, it probably would have been raining. And like, I'd way rather that my disco ball's in the roof.
Exactly. And on that note, are there any particular fond memories that you look back on the day and think that just is indicative of everything else?
Yeah, I actually did a speech, which I know not all brides choose to do. And I don't think it's the right thing to do if that's going to create a lot of anxiety. But as someone that enjoys public speaking and, you know, has a lot to say, for me, it felt like a no-brainer. And I loved doing my speech. It was such a highlight for me. I think obviously you're in front of like a very generous crowd and I genuinely felt like a stand-up comedian. So as soon as I kind of put my speech cards down, I was like, oh my God, I want to do it again. Like I had the best time doing that. So that I really found so fun. And then I think like, you know, the vision kind of unfolds and comes to life. Like I felt more and more relaxed. It's like, okay, tick, that was perfect, that, you know. And so by the time we're on the dance floor, like I think I went to the loo like once because I was like, I just don't want to leave. And I was genuinely like jumping up and down like a pogo stick on the dance floor because I was just so like by everyone's energy and happiness.
And if you had a friend who was getting married imminently, what would be the one piece of advice you'd give them?
I do have lots of friends getting married. And I would say this is like a really, this makes me sound really vain, but I think just have your makeup topped up after your ceremony. Because if you're anything like me and you've been crying, kissing, your makeup's not going to be in tip-top shape. And there was like an hour-long window where I stupidly didn't have it refreshed, even though I had people there. When I now look at the photos, I'm like, oh God, I look so disheveled. I don't think anyone else would think that. But that would definitely be a tip, which, yeah, just keep your makeup people on hand. Or like have a friend be like, right, make sure that, you know, my lipstick looks good or my nose is not shiny or whatever. I think as well, like, being really explicit in your vision. If you have a clear vision, let the coordinator or whoever's in control of it on the day know the details, because something that's really obvious to you, not obvious to them, you know? But other than that, I genuinely written down, because he obviously sent me some of these questions before and I was making some notes, and I literally wrote that the tone comes from the bride and groom, but you said that already. So I could not agree with you more on
it's
that
like one.
One
mind.
Exactly. Same wavelength.
Well, thank you so much for talking me through your beautiful wedding. It's been an absolute pleasure and I hope you've enjoyed it too.
I've had the best time and I very much appreciate you letting me go into such detail, and I hope it's useful / inspiring for anyone that's getting married, and I hope that they have the best time ever.
Thanks so much for listening to Words in a Wedding. If you liked the episode, please subscribe if you haven't already. And follow @WordsOnAWedding on Instagram, where you'll find guest wedding photos and much, much more. Have a great week.